This morning we invite you to 2 Peter chapter 3. 2 Peter chapter 3. We had Brother Don to read the whole chapter for the scripture reading this morning. So we know already what is in the chapter. We're going to read this, just the first two verses this morning. 2 Peter chapter 3, verses 1 and 2. This second epistle, beloved, I now write unto you, in both which I stir up your pure minds by way of remembrance, that ye may be mindful of the words which were spoken before by the holy prophets, and of the commandment of us, the apostles of the Lord and Savior. May the Lord add his blessing to the reading of these verses. The author of 2 Peter is Peter, Simon Peter. We know from that of the very first verse in this epistle, he identifies himself as Simon Peter, a servant and apostle of Jesus Christ. The recipients of this letter, he identifies in verse number 1 also. He says, to them, or he writes to them that have obtained like precious faith through the righteousness of God and our Savior, Jesus Christ. Now, the timing of this epistle was most likely, or it seems from that of what Peter writes, that of his latter years, that Peter was thinking about the fact that it would be very shortly and he would be leaving this world. And you'll note in verse number 14 of that first chapter, he writes, knowing that shortly I must put off this my tabernacle, even as our Lord Jesus Christ has showed me. So his departure from this world, the dropping of this fleshly tabernacle, was upon the mind of Peter here. Now, Peter's purpose in writing this second epistle was to put them in remembrance of some things, to stir them up by putting them in remembrance, to warn them of false teachers which were denying the truth concerning the day of the Lord. They were saying there never was a time when God intervened in world history and brought judgment. They believed that you could basically live as you please, and that the sins that you committed, that was all had to do with that of the body, the fleshly body. In 2 Peter chapter 3, where I want us to focus in on this morning, Peter gives a warning about apostasy. He warns the recipients of scoffers who would come in the last days. He warns his recipients of these scoffers that they would scoff at the promise of the Lord's coming. He then exhorts his recipients on how they should live in light of the truth of the day of the Lord. Now you note at the very end of chapter 3, in verse number 17, he writes, ye therefore, beloved, seeing ye know these things before, beware, lest ye also, being led away with the error of the wicked, fall from your own steadfastness. But grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. To him be glory both now and forever. Amen. Now, Peter gives this last warning at the end of the book. He says, beloved, seeing you know these things before, beware. Beware. The same warning that Peter gives to these beloved of God is a warning for us today. A warning with regards to apostasy. Our subject this morning, or our focus, will be verses 1 and 2 of chapter 3. And our subject will be apostasy and how to deal with it. Now, the apostasy that Peter writes of here is on that of an individual basis. It's on that of an individual basis. Apostasy is a departure from the faith. Back several years ago, we studied the book of Hebrews, and if you remember, in the book of Hebrews, one of the themes that was found throughout the book was that of apostasy. And the writer of Hebrews, he warned the Hebrew believers that the track that took them to heaven, or would take them to heaven, the rails that would give them assurance that they would cross that of the finish line, was that of the rail of preservation, being kept by the power of God, and that of perseverance in the faith. Keeping on, believing the truth, and continuing to believe that of the truth that had been revealed. Peter, like the writer of Hebrews, he sets the same truth before us here likewise. Peter tells his saints in this second epistle, "I write to you to stir up your pure minds by way of remembrance." Peter wanted these believers to whom he was writing to remember what they had been taught, and to keep on remembering and believing those things. Now, what is needed to keep us on the track, so to speak? What is needed to keep us on the track? Let's begin by reading verse 1. Peter writes, "The second epistle, beloved, I now write unto you, in both which I stir up your pure minds by way of remembrance." A stirring up of the mind by way of remembrance is what we need. First of all, we would say to you, to keep us on track. This second epistle, he says, "Beloved, I now write unto you, in both which I stir up your pure minds by way of remembrance." Now, what does Peter remind them of, first of all, as we think about what he says here? Well, the first thing that we would say to you that he reminds them of is that of their status. Who they are. You note he says these things write, the second epistle, "Beloved, I now write unto you." Note how he describes these ones that he is writing to. He describes them in that of the first chapter as ones who were ones that had obtained like precious faith. Like precious faith with us, Peter writes. With us, the apostles. These ones to whom Peter wrote to, they had the same kind of faith. Their faith was in Jesus Christ. But he describes them here in this third chapter as beloved. Beloved. Now, he also does this throughout this chapter. In verse 8, he says, "But beloved." In verse number 14, "Wherefore, beloved." And then in verse number 17, "Ye therefore, beloved." Beloved. Dearly loved. Dearly loved. And as we think of Peter and Peter himself, these saints of God, they were beloved by Him, first of all. They were dear unto Him. Why else would He have taken time to even written this epistle to these believers who were scattered throughout that of various provinces if He didn't have that of a love for them and a concern for them as far as that of their future? He cared about them. But not only do we think that Peter, as he uses that word beloved, speaks of that of his love for them, but I believe we can say very safely and based upon the Word of God that he was also making reference to the very fact that these recipients, that they were beloved of God. That was their status, beloved. They were beloved of God. Beloved by Peter and beloved by God. Beloved, we need to be reminded of this. We need to be reminded of the very fact that we who are the children of God, that we are beloved of God. Over in that of 1 Peter. And in the introduction there of that first epistle, Peter writes in verse 1, Peter, an apostle of Jesus Christ, to the strangers scattered throughout Pontus, Galatia, Cappadocia, Asia, and Bithynia, elect according to the foreknowledge of God the Father. Elect, chosen of God. Chosen of God. And loved with an everlasting love. A member of God's family. One of God's children. Oh, how blessed we are to be a part of God's family. So, the first thing that Peter sets before us here is that of the status of these ones to whom he was writing to. They were beloved of God. He wanted to remind them of that. It's evident, beloved, as we look down through this chapter, he uses it four times as he addresses them. Beloved. Beloved. What an encouragement. What an encouragement to keep on keeping on. But not only does Peter remind them of their status here, as we would say, but he also wanted to remind them that they were to remember what they had previously been taught. He says, "This second epistle, beloved, I now write unto you, in both which I stir up your pure minds by way of remembrance." This second epistle. Now there's some debate amongst various commentators as to what Peter here is referring to. Whether he is referring to that of another epistle that he had written, or that he was referring to that of the first epistle that we have in that of our Bible today in the canon. There's been a suggestion that it was the epistle of Jude that is being referenced to here. But, you know, if we think of the epistle of Jude, Jude was the writer of that epistle. So, you know, it doesn't make sense that one would consider Jude as being written by that of Peter. And yet, we would just say to you, as we did some study this week, that there are some comparisons. There are some things that Peter writes about and that Jude writes about that are comparable. But I believe that we can safely say that this second epistle that Peter here is referring to, or this other epistle, he says, the second epistle, beloved, I now write unto you in both which I stir up your minds by way of remembrance, is none other than that of the one that he is writing right now, and the other one that he speaks of when he says both, in which I stir you up, that he was referring to that of the first epistle. This second epistle, beloved, I now write unto you both which I stir up your pure minds by way of remembrance. The word stir up here has the idea to arouse. Peter, as he writes this epistle here, he does it to arouse them, to stir them up. Now, sometimes we get stirred up, and it's not stirred up in the right way. We've all been that way at times. But what Peter here is writing about here is that of a stirring up that would be a good stirring up. A stirring up, as he tells us here, of your pure minds by that of the way of remembrance. That you be mindful of the words which were spoken by the holy prophets and of the commandment of us, the apostles of the Lord and Savior. The stirring up that he is speaking of by way of remembrance has to do with that of the Word of God. He sought to rouse up their pure minds. Their pure minds by way of remembrance. Their minds, renewed minds. Their changed minds by way of remembrance of the Holy Scriptures. Our minds need to be renewed regularly by the Word of God. Paul wrote in Romans 12, "Be not conformed to the world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind." We as human beings, we are very forgetful. And especially when it comes to that of the Word of God, we are very forgetful. That's why that we need to read the Holy Scriptures. That's why we need to have the Word of God read unto us. That's why we need to hear the Word of God taught, and taught over and over and over. That of being reminded over and over of that of the truths of God's Word. Beloved, the devil, he is crafty. He is crafty. If you remember in the garden, he asked Eve in regards to what God had said. Hath God said, ye shall not eat of every tree of the garden? As God said. He placed a question about that of the Word of God. He didn't out and out tell Eve that God had not said it, but he put a question there. And beloved, the devil is no different today. He's the same devil. And he continues to place that question out there about the Word of God. Questioning God's Word is still going on today. We need to deal with it with the thus saith the Lord, by the renewing of our minds, by that of the stirring up of our minds by way of remembrance concerning the Scriptures. That involves that of activity. That involves activity on that of our part. by actually reading the scriptures, by actually having the Word of God read and us being where it is read and taught. Not only do we need to be stirred up by the way of remembrance, but we also need to be renewed in our commitment to the Word of God. The authority of the Word of God. Now, there are many who would say to us, the Bible is just a book of books that have been all put together, and you just got fables, you got myths. There's nothing about it. That's true. Then there are those that would go a little bit up from that, and they would tell us that, oh, we believe the Bible. We believe that it contains that of the Word of God. It's not the Word of God, but it contains the Word of God. Well, what is what is the question. If we hold to that view of the Holy Scriptures, how do we tell what is truly the Word of God and what truly is not the Word of God? Well, some would say, well, you know, the Spirit of God leads you. I've been in places, and I'm sure you have been in places, where you've been in a Sunday school class and you have one person coming, standing up and saying, well, I believe this, and another person coming up and saying, I believe this about that of the verse. You have all kinds of voices saying, this is what the Scripture says. This is what the Scripture says. Well, we need to take the Word of God, the Bible, as a whole. Every part of it as being the Word of God. All Scripture is given by inspiration of God, Paul told Timothy. And it has authority. It reproves, it rebukes, and it gives us the right path we're to walk in. But note what Peter writes here in verse 2. What Peter gives us here has to do with the Holy Scriptures and the way that they have come to us. He says that ye may be mindful of the words which were spoken before by the holy prophets. There's the first way that the Scriptures has come to us. By that of the holy prophets of God. Men moved upon by that of God through the Holy Spirit to speak the message. Now the writer of Hebrews tells us in that of the first chapter, in verse 1, God, who at sundry times and in divers manners spake in times past unto the fathers by the prophets, hath in these last days spoken unto us by his Son, whom he has appointed heir of all things, by whom also he made the world. Over in that second chapter of Hebrews, the writer of Hebrews writes, How shall we, in verse 3, how shall we escape if we neglect so great a salvation, which at the first began to be spoken by the Lord and was confirmed unto us by them that heard him? God also bearing them witness, both with signs and wonders and with divers manners, miracles and gifts of the Holy Ghost, according to his own will. Here we have basically what Peter tells us over here in verse 2. That the word of God came to us by that of the holy prophets. And then we had that of the word who was none other than Jesus Christ, the message of God. God revealed himself to us in and through that of Jesus Christ. And then by means of the apostles. Isn't that what Peter writes here? That ye may be mindful of the words which were spoken before by the holy prophets and of the commandments of us, the apostles of the Lord and Savior. The Old Testament scriptures, the Old Testament books, they are the Word of God. Just like that of the New Testament books are the Word of God. From Genesis to Revelation. From cover to cover, as some would say. That's the Word of God. A renewing of our commitment to God's Word. As we think about the Word of God, this is our foundation. Remove that of the Word of God, or even a piece of it, beloved, and we have that of a foundation that is messed up. A foundation that is chipped or damaged. It will begin to deteriorate. More and more. And likewise, if we remove any part of the scriptures, the deterioration will continue. And in so doing, we will depart from the faith. Peter wrote over in the first chapter of this epistle, beginning with verse number 15, "Moreover, I will endeavor that you may be able after my decease to have these things always in remembrance. For we have not followed cunningly devised fables when we made known unto you the power and coming of the Lord Jesus Christ, but were eyewitnesses of his majesty. For he received from God the Father honor and glory when there came such a voice to him from the excellent glory, 'This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased.' And this voice which came from heaven we heard when we were with him in the Holy Mount. We have also a more sure word of prophecy, whereunto you do well that ye take heed, as unto a light that shineth in a dark place, until the day dawn and the day star arise in your hearts. Knowing this first, that no prophecy of Scripture is of any private interpretation. For the prophecy came not in old time by the will of man, but holy men of God spake as they were moved by the Holy Ghost." Peter says, we have a more sure word of prophecy. We're not depending upon that of the words, mere words of men. No, we have a more sure word of prophecy, whereunto you do well that you take heed. Peter, an apostle. Simon Peter, a servant and an apostle of Jesus Christ. Apostle sent. Sent by Jesus Christ. And likewise the other apostles. If we go away from the scriptures, we'll follow in that path that leads to apostasy. The track that leads home has the rails of preservation and perseverance. Perseverance in the truth of God's Word. Are you on track? Are you on track? Let us test ourselves. What do we believe about the Scripture? What do we believe about the Scriptures? Do we believe it only contains the Holy Scriptures? Or do we believe that from cover to cover, it is indeed the Word of God? I believe it's from cover to cover, and it has everything that we need. That the Holy Scriptures are sufficient for every need we have. All right. Let us stand and we'll breathe, or we'll sing the old hymn on the back of the bulletin. This is in our hymn book, but I thought I'd just put it out on the back of the bulletin for ease.
Holy Bible, precious treasure, thou art mine to tell me whence I came, mine to teach me what I am, mine to chide me when I roam, mine to show a Savior's love, mine thou art to guide and guard, mine to punish or reward, mine to comfort in distress, suffering in this wilderness, mine to show my living faith, weak and triumph over death, mine to tell of joys to come, and
afternoon service today, we'll be studying in the book of James once again. Last week we covered verse 26, which dealt with that of vain worship. Tonight we'll be dealing with that of pure worship. Pure worship. Or pure religion. Can I ask whether Don, if you please quote me?
Our pure Father, Lord, we do praise you for the Holy Scriptures we have, for the revelation in the Bible. Father, we thank you for the words of thy Old Testament prophets, and therefore the apostolic Lord, speak to our hearts. May thy Holy Spirit be our teacher. Lord, may we be faithful. Lord, deliver us from compromise. Lord, from the evil of this world. Lord, bless the gospel now. May it go forth with your power in our hearts and in the hearts of our loved ones. Lord, in the hands of the earth. We pray this all in Jesus' name.
Amen.